Sharp Tongue Podcast coming at you. Your host, Jessie May, up in your ear. I'm about to get right up in your ear. Oh, yeah, you like that, girl? That shit feel good. You like it, Essay? We talk about a lot of stuff today. We talk about Cosby some more. We talk about smoking weed with moms. We talk about smoking weed with Snoop Dogg. It can't get much better than that. I talk about getting dug with high. This episode is on fire with greenery given to you by nature. Again, nature's gift. Tune into the Sharp Tongue Podcast. Tell your friends. Hootie hoo!
Of the sea, back to the black Snoop Doggy Dog, Monkey and the Doc went
so in the motherfucking house. Are we recording? Oh, sweet. You never know. He's got to kick it off. You got to kick it off like a motherfucker. Like a motherfucker. This is the Sharp Tongue Podcast. What is the date today? I don't even know what the date is. It is Monday, July 11th. Holy fuck, how did that happen? Everyone looks forward to the summer, and then the summer gets here, and it's, like, gone. It's already halfway gone. A lot of exciting things happening. Everyone says that just to make it sound like there's a lot of exciting shit happening, but I don't really know. Let's see. I'm playing someplace. The 21st, Bakerfields, California. Bakerfields. There's a whole bunch of fields out there that Baker's work in. Bakerfield, California, at the Tembler Brewing Company at 8 o'clock. You can get tickets for the show at jessiemay.com. If you email me at sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com. I might give you free tickets if I'm feeling particularly generous, which I am today. You know, I'm feeling kind of generous. I'm feeling like giving some shit away. I have somebody here sitting here staring at me who is a guest on the show today. And I'm going to make him tell you his name.
Hi.
Do you do impressions? Okay. Who do you do? Who's like your top three?
Well, I'll do Tracy Morgan. Tracy and me have been friends for a long ass time. I know that dude forever. We get together, we go buy Cheetos at the store. He taught me which is the best Cheetos. It's the puffy ass Cheetos. Oh, hell yeah. That dude crazy. You crazy, Jessie May. I love you. You good. I'll get you pregnant.
Yeah, so he said to me when I met him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's usually what he says.
Steven Glickman, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Rawr. It's me and you.
I'm so happy. Thank you so much for having me come hang out with you.
For sure.
That's very exciting.
That's a good Tracy Morgan impression.
Thanks. I try my best.
He's something.
I try my best.
He told my friend, I met him a few summers ago in New York, and I had to follow him on stage at the Stand in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a tough one. It's a tough follow.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I would, yeah.
He murders. He's just, you know how he is. Sometimes terrifying. He does a set. Sometimes he'll just talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
The host tried to get him off stage three times. The third time she came up on stage, he goes, no. He just put his hand in her face.
Yeah, he goes, no. I'm still doing this shit. Yeah. I'm still having a good ass time. Go home, lady. You could go home.
That's what he was like. And then I was like, oh, fuck. How am I going to do this? And I did well.
Yeah.
And I saw him in the corner watching, and he was laughing. And
oh, wow.
You know, as a comic, you're just like, there's certain people that you get all giddy about. And I got off stage. He was like, yo, Shorty, you the realness.
Oh, wow.
He called me the realness.
That's amazing.
That's pretty good, right?
You keep that in your pocket forever.
I will.
That's a huge deal.
And then he said he wanted to get me pregnant.
Good. Good.
So I felt like it was a double whammy.
That's everything you could ever want with Tracy Morgan. I did one show with him in my life, and it was at Caroline's in New York.
Oh yeah, Caroline's.
And the lineup was supposed to be a couple kids were going up, and then I was going to close the show.
Oh God.
And first kid went up, and then they were like, Glickman, you're no longer closing the show. It's now this little kid who's up on stage, then you're gonna go up, and then Dean Edwards is gonna go up. And I was like, oh, Dean Edwards from SNL, that's great.
Cool.
No worries, very exciting. And then literally 2 seconds later, they're like, actually the lineup is gonna go you, then Dean Edwards, and then Tracy Morgan. And I was like, oh shit, that's amazing. And they were like, actually it's you.
Richard Pryor's back from the dead.
You're going to do 5 minutes. Then it's going to be Dean Edwards. Then it's going to be Tracy Morgan. And then Dave Chappelle's going to close the show.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, this is the most epic shit I've ever. And I did like 5 minutes real quick. I did my set. I had a good set.
Yeah.
Got off stage. And then Dean went up and did like 7 or 8 minutes. And then Tracy went up and did like
2 years,
like 20, 30 minutes. And then Dave Chappelle did like an hour to close.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, because Chappelle's on stage and he's in the middle of his act, like right in the middle. And I have a lot of young fans because I was on Nickelodeon for a really long
time. Yeah, we got to talk about all that.
So because I have like a lot of young fans, there was a kid in the audience sitting in the middle of the audience. And Chappelle goes, I'm not going to do his voice, but he was like, wait a second. How old are you? And this kid in the audience goes, 12.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, there's a 12-year-old here. Man, I've been talking about all this shit and hookers and unfucking, you know, bitches and shit and doing talking about drugs and shit. There's a 12-year-old in the audience. Man, this is fucked up. All right, from here out for the rest of the show, all I'm going to do is talk about, like, sweet, like, clean material. I'm going to keep it clean. I'm going to do the rest of the show clean just for you, kid. How's that sound? Kid goes, okay. And he goes, all right, so this joke is for you. So I was fucking this dead hooker. She was dead while she died while I was fucking her, and the whole room just shattered. It just, and it was like the greatest thing. It was so great. I've never seen anybody do anything like that.
Oh,
that was,
man,
amazing.
Chappelle don't give a fuck.
He's the best.
He really is great.
He's the best.
I saw him recently at the Forum. He was doing, he had like 3 sold out shows. You have to do the whole cell phone thing.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about this before. We have to put this, that's where we've come as a society, where people just can't resist not recording people when they're performing.
So
or
is that
texting.
What's happening? You go and you
have to put your phone in a pouch when you go see Chappelle.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So you're standing in line, and that it took us to get into the show was supposed to start at 9. We didn't get in until close to, it's supposed to start at like 7. We didn't get in close to 10 because they're taking every single person's cell phone, putting it inside of this like custom bag that shuts it off, and they seal it. And they give it back to you. And the only way you can leave, you know, you have to give it back before you leave. So you hang on to this bag that your cell phone is in, so you can't use your cell phone, to every single person. It was over 1,000 people.
So you can't open the bag?
Nope.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's how like much he doesn't want people. And I get it. I understand it. But as a fan and as a fellow comedian, to have to stand in line 3 hours for that process to
That's
be executed
lot.
Is a lot.
Well, they should do it like they should. There are comedy clubs in Chicago, I believe, now that when you walk in the door, like when you go to buy your tickets and to like a check in at box office, they take your cell phone
and they keep it
in a file cabinet. And then you can pick up your cell phone at the end of the show.
I don't mind that. You know, I guess
it's just a weird, it's weird.
It is really weird. Like
I don't mind. I like when people film me when I'm on stage.
You do?
Like, I don't have a problem with it.
Really?
Yeah, like, if I do have a problem with it, I'll go over and I'll take their phone out of their hand.
Like, when you're performing, like, here in town, like, the store and shit, when that happens, it doesn't irk you a little bit? If they're what if they're texting?
Well, look, if somebody's filming me while I'm on stage and I'm doing like shit that I don't want to be out, I guess it would it would upset me a little bit, but I don't know, I don't care as much, just because it's like where's that footage gonna go, really? Maybe it'll go up online. I don't know, it'd be a bigger deal if I was a much more famous stand-up comedian.
Yeah, I think that's what the difference
and I was,
is
like, protecting my material.
Yeah, and you're working on an hour.
Yeah,
that's a lot different.
It'd be different.
Did you see, I just saw in the news, I'm starting to read the news a lot more lately, less OK Magazine and more Yahoo Digest.
Okay.
They're actually putting, the judge is going to go through with Cosby going on trial. Did you see that?
No, really happening?
The judge said there's enough evidence to put him on trial.
That's so awesome.
That's so awesome.
That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
That's how it should be.
It really should.
Yeah.
Did you, was he like an idol of yours? I talk about it so much.
I mean, look, he was an, like when I was growing up, I remember watching, what's it called? The
Cosby Show?
There's a stand. Cosby did a bit about Noah's Ark.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was like
yeah.
a really big deal to me when I was a kid.
Yeah, I faintly know what that is. Yeah. I remember that being a big joke of his.
Yeah, it was like where, like he was like,
you know, Noah, build me an ark. And then Noah said, how many cubits by how many cubits do you want the ark?
Or something. It was like something like this. I'm ruining the joke. But as a kid, I remember being like, oh, I heard about Noah's Ark. Like, that was cool. Like, at like 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know, thinking that was kind of neat. And then, like, literally at 12 years old, I know I'm going to get dark real quick.
Get dark. I always get dark on the podcast.
12 years old, 12, 13, my dad left when I was, like, a teenager.
Yeah.
And when he walked out, I was super depressed. So my mom, to, like, cheer me up, bought me Pauly Shore's stand-up comedy album.
That would make me more depressed. What does your mom do to feed you healthy food? Give you like a cheeseburger in the morning?
Yes. Just shove a cheeseburger and a Pop-Tart in my face. Yeah, it was Pauly Shore's album. It was Dennis Leary, No Cure for Cancer. That album. It was George Carlin, Live from New Jersey. And it
I mean, that's the best one of all of them.
Oh, yeah. And then there was another one. It was, I think it was Bobcat Goldthwait's album.
Oh, my God. When he was just like nuts just in the nuts. 80s.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just like.
And I mean, I listened to these albums from beginning to end. I memorized every single, you know, fucking word of these
wow.
things.
Wow. Like, Pauly Shore.
I was obsessed.
Were you obsessed with Pauly Shore?
Obsessed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I mean, like.
Is your mom still alive?
Yeah.
I'm going to punch her. I'm going to punch her right in the gut.
No,
I'm going to gut punch your mom.
No.
For handing you
don't.
A Pauly Shore.
It was the best. No, it was the best. Well, this is like son-in-law.
Kidding.
This is like son-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
This
I mean, he
like
was something.
He was like a big deal.
Yeah, he was something. He
oh,
really
yeah.
was.
He was a big deal.
He's an icon.
Yeah.
Weasel.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Man.
He's
and
an icon.
I just loved that shit. So, like, I got more into, well, I loved Dennis Leary's album. I didn't know, yeah, at the time. You
Bill Hicks 2.0.
Yeah, I didn't know it was Bill Hicks 2.0 at the time. But it was like, it, you know, I remember hearing these songs. There's a lot of dirt. It was really dirty.
Yeah.
And I was just, oh, man, I was obsessed. And George Carlin, too.
Oh,
just,
fuck.
Dude, just
I was.
Amazing.
I loved Leary, too.
Yeah, he was.
You're like,
was,
what is he doing?
Yeah, what is this?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's what he's doing.
He was like the female Sandra Bernhardt.
Yeah.
Kind of in his execution, the way he performed. Just kind of not, he wasn't very traditional.
Yeah. And he was angry.
Very angry.
He was like Louis Black before Louis Black
yeah.
was Louis Black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my
yeah.
Louis Black
oh,
impression.
That's a good impression. That was really good. But yeah, like Cosby was kind of a little too vanilla for my comedy taste as like a 12, 13 year old. I just
yeah.
I liked things that were a little meaner than that.
Yeah. I think most 12 year olds do. And now we know why he was so vanilla.
God. You know
Shit.
What? I'm not kidding you. Anytime somebody is too vanilla in this world. Anytime I meet someone and they're like a guy, like if you ever meet a guy and he goes, yeah, no, I don't watch pornography. I kind of feel like it's weird and disrespectful.
Objectifies women.
That dude murdered
woo,
somebody.
Woo, woo. Yeah. Stranger danger.
That guy is the most dangerous guy
yes.
you're going to meet.
Human like, remains in the backyard.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Every guy I've met who...
I agree.
Who, like, does not like pornography at all, like, hates it and will not watch it, those guys are hands down the most dangerous, weirdest guys you'll ever meet. They're
so is this where you start
weirdos.
Talking about your porno, my weird porn
Absolutely.
Obsession?
No, I just feel like guys who like Cosby who are walking around with this like super clean like oh like
and even
oh.
like detesting any sort
yeah.
of close to being blue humor.
They're the worst people.
The worst, and it is so. It's almost a consistent like
yeah.
Character indicator.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
When I was a kid, my dad said to me that strippers were dirty, disgusting people. That was like, that's when I just mentioned, oh, I think that's a what is that place? And that's where dirty, disgusting people go, like to the strip
yeah.
club. And he's like the worst kind of person.
And that's why he left. He's like, I'm leaving when you're 12.
Yeah, like,
and he's still at the strip
you
club.
Know, like, he just slept with like a bunch of oh. shitty, horrible people and did like a bunch of awful shit with his
See,
life.
That's how people are. They
yeah.
they project that stuff.
They do that so then it covers their tracks.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
so then they feel like they can be worse because
right.
they, you know, put on this like image of being so like clean
and, yeah and it's almost and like they're convincing themselves
yeah yeah it's fucking weird man. I hope that he goes to trial and I hope that they prosecute
I
him
do
because...
too and Camille too like his wife you know she knew some shit
man that...
you know she knew some shit
yeah,
come on you could she even brought some information to the table like months ago about this whole thing it's
yeah.
crazy that to me that's when people are like don't you love meeting your icons and your and stuff like, you're like, no, I don't want to know. I want to just remember the Cosby Show and just have it be in this like little catacomb in my life and not know any of the real shit that happens.
God, it's
ignorance
so,
is bliss in
it,
that.
It really is. And it like, it's so fucked up how like knowing somebody or like knowing too much, like it just ruins.
It ruins it. Because it makes you realize that we literally are all the same.
You know what
we're
it doesn't
all the
ruin,
same?
Though, is the movie Ghost Dad. You should go back.
Ghost Dad's such a good movie.
Go back and watch Ghost Dad.
Oh, shit.
And just enjoy how horrible and fun
how did I forget about Ghost Dad?
Movie. There you go. Go back.
Oh, my God.
Check out some Ghost Dad.
Holy,
don't pay for it.
You know
steal
Ghost Dad all too real.
Yeah.
Your dad ghosted you.
He did ghost you.
What
me.
An asshole.
He's a real piece of shit. He's a bad fella.
Did your mom remarry?
No, she didn't. She's dated a bunch of fellas.
Good
she's,
for her.
She's very fucking
tossing
cool.
the cat around the room. I like
oh,
that.
You better believe it. she has a farm at her house. We're talking like she's got a horse that comes
what?
To the house. Yeah, and she's got a sheep and a goat and
why
a,
just one of each?
she's like half Noah's Arking it a
okay.
little bit. She's like half
yeah.
Noah's Arking it.
That's funny.
You know
she's like, I've got a chicken.
Yeah, she's looking for like a guy who's got the other pairing
yeah.
and then they'll get an ark together and then she'll just float off into the ocean.
Let's
probably.
Buy a zoo.
Let's do it.
You know that movie with Matt Damon?
Yes. We bought a zoo. God bless Cameron Crowe. The worst name of a movie in history.
That's so bad. What are we going to call this? Well, it should be something that lets people know what the movie is. How about We Bought a Zoo?
We Bought a Zoo.
God, Matt Damon's made Perfect. Some interesting creative choices, hasn't
Holy
he?
Holy shit, has he
Stuck
ever.
On you? Do you
yeah.
remember that with Greg Kinnear?
You know where he's attached to Greg Kinnear?
Like physically attached.
Yeah.
And Eva Mendes is like, cool, I'll fuck the other guy. I'll fuck
yeah.
one of you.
And you're like, you know, Greg Kinnear's a great guy and everything, but that's Matt Damon.
It's Matt Damon. Sorry. You look like Matt Damon's nut that was left in the sun too long. I don't even know what happens to nuts if they're left in the sun too long.
Yeah, probably not good things.
Not good things. But, Greg Kinnear's what happens.
That's, yeah, literally. That's so fun.
So how long have you been doing stand-up? I don't know like a lot about your...
I don't, you know, I
That's like my favorite voice right now.
I love when that shit happens and no one ever does that dismount where you just make a noise and you meant to talk and you just,
yeah, just
it's so weird. You just let it.
I'd say like 14 years.
I started stand-up like 14 years ago.
Wow.
I started it in, I was on tour with the worst musical of all time.
Is that what it was called? Did Cameron
yes,
Crowe title it?
Cameron Crowe titled it. It was called We Bought a Zoo the Musical. And I was on tour with this horrible musical. It landed here in Los Angeles. And the review said...
oh, God.
You know what? I'll pull up the review while I'm telling
please
you about
do.
The about this. So
can you are you musical? Can you sing?
Yeah, I'm a musical theater actor.
Oh,
that's
shit.
That's where I came from. I went to like an acting musical theater school in New
yeah.
York. And how it went down is I went to this musical theater school and then I got cast in like a national tour of a musical and it took me out on the road.
Is it this musical that
it's
you're looking
at? Musical,
up?
Yeah. And
in the review, the LA review?
You know what? I just saw this the other day because, I mean, this is from a long time ago. And,
you just saw it the other day?
I just saw that this review exists. So I thought I'd read it. I'd read
yeah.
a little bit of it
Wait,
to
so did you know it existed at the time?
Yeah, I knew it existed at the time, but I thought it was just on paper. I didn't think that it was on the internet. But it is on the internet forever.
Good for you.
Which is so fucking great for me. I love it. So I toured the country doing a musical called A Stoop on Orchard Street.
Oh,
okay.
Jesus, and that's it was a mouthful.
Oh yeah. And it was a continuation to Fiddler on the Roof.
No.
Okay. It was like a sequel. Sort
They're
of.
Like, what would happen if the Fiddler fell off the fucking roof?
Right, exactly.
He'd land on a stoop on Orchard
there
Street.
There you go. Yeah. That's what it's about. It's like New York Jews in like a million years.
Bagels
ago.
And Schmear.
Bagels and Schmear. 1910, Bagels and Schmear. Here's the review.
Oh, okay? God.
This off-Broadway musical, now on a national tour, has the rancid flavor of a moldy slab of ham passed off as a kosher delicacy. There is little that is spontaneous or original about this assembly line commodity. Wait, hang on. The tale of Jewish immigrants struggling to survive in New York tenements is being marketed as a successor to Fiddler on the Roof. That's like calling the Beverly Hillbillies a descendant of the Grapes of Wrath. That's Backstage wrote this. That's Backstage.com.
Oh, shit.
Wrote that review. It was, I mean, like, when it happened, I was like, oh, my God, I'm in a bad musical. Like,
but did you know?
I didn't know how bad it was. I knew it was
You didn't
bad.
Know you were in a bad musical?
I didn't know. Like, I knew it
Writing
wasn't
that
great.
Down.
I didn't know I was in a bad musical, all right, until it happened. And what was great is the theater that we were performing in was under construction, and so we had to wait for a month in between, like, doing the show, and then we had to do the show again. So we had, like, a month off.
Oh, Jesus.
And we were staying in the Canoga Park Best Western that was attached to the Canoga Park bowling alley. And in the bowling alley, there was a stand-up comedy show. And I went to it, and I was just an audience member, and I heckled a comedian on stage during his act, this guy Sheldon Tuck.
You remember all this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I heckled the shit out of him while he's on stage, and I'm getting laughs in the audience, and I'm like, haha, I'm such a fucking asshole, and he's such a sweet guy, and I just destroyed him. And then he got off, and this guy Matt Walker, this redhead comedian, he gets up on stage, and he starts heckling me and roasting me. And he roasted the shit out of me in front of everybody. And Matt Walker has been like my best friend now for 14 years.
That's hilarious.
And he produces the nighttime show, my live show here at the club.
Yeah.
And he produces my podcast too.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Does he remember that night too?
Oh yeah, very well. Yeah. Cause I talked to him afterwards because I was like, I want to do this. Like, how do I do this?
Yeah.
And he was like, and then he like kind of, you know, we all kind of talked about it. And then I think a week later I started doing stand up.
And so how long were you still in the bad musical?
I left the bad musical in Los Angeles, and they continued. They actually decided to switch and start doing Gilligan's Island, the musical.
No.
Yeah.
Who's directing this?
This guy.
Who's a creative director for this shit?
Very sweet guy.
He's like, you know what's missing in the musical scene? Saved by the Bell, the musical.
That's not a joke. That's a real possibility to happen in this world. Like, it's a fucking, it's crazy.
The Peach Pit.
Absolutely.
The Peach Pit Chronicles.
Oh, God. It could really happen. So that shit happened, and then I just stayed. I lived on a comedian's couch for about 6 months, and then, you know, got my first job, and then started, like, you know, really being a comic here.
So you went from the musical thing to being a comedian.
Yeah. Yeah. I left the musical to, like, stay here in L.A. Like, I left the tour to, like,
stay. Do you
miss
it? You miss it a little bit?
Musical theater?
Yeah.
Sometimes I do a little bit, but I don't want to do it unless it's, like I did a I worked on Broadway a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I played Shrek in the
I
Shrek
saw that.
Musical.
What was that like? You played Shrek in the Shrek musical.
Yeah, for DreamWorks. So it was like me and Jeffrey Katzenberg and David Geffen, and Sam Mendes was
producing. Oh my God.
I mean,
Sam Mendes is like
amazing.
He's the bomb.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then it was being directed by Jason Moore, who directed Pitch Perfect, the first Pitch Perfect movie.
I loved Pitch Perfect.
I'm sure you did.
I really did. It made every girl want to be able to sing.
Right,
and every girl
completely.
Thinks they can sing.
Yeah, exactly.
Only
we
in our cars.
Should start.
We could do a cappella.
Let's start an a cappella group.
Everyone says I sing really well. I mean, no one's ever said that, but they look at me like they want to say it.
Oh my God. Could you imagine the Hollywood Improv a cappella group going up against the Comedy Store a cappella group?
That would be amazing. God. That really would.
Yeah.
So Shrek the musical.
So I worked on that for a little while. I did like 2 years as like helping them create the role, you know, and like helping the script and like working, you know, doing they did like all the prosthetics based on my face, you know, and all.
What was the prep like? It's probably a long.
I mean, the prosthetics were like 6-7 hours
every
do.
Time.
Yeah, but they were doing prosthetic makeup on me like about 2 or 3 times a week, and then the rest of the time I would perform without the makeup, just because they were testing. It was like testing and workshopping and testing and stuff. And then I got you know I worked on it for a while, and then was able to I was out. I got kicked out because they wanted like a big star to take over and play the role on
Broadway.
You're
like, I fucking built this. I built this city on rock and roll, you assholes.
But what's great is they bought me out on my contract for an enormous amount of money.
That's awesome.
And then I got residual royalties on the show for my work on
right.
it. For the next, it was like for 18 years, 20
oh,
years.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like
yeah, so it ended up being...
Yeah, so I still get paid.
Yeah.
Like every month I get a check for
that's
working
awesome.
On Shrek, which is fucking insane.
Were the hours like demanding and crazy?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean like it was fucking... Dude, you know what's crazy, Jesse, is like, you know how there's jobs sometimes where like you think that you... know how hard it's gonna
right,
be.
Right. You know how demanding it's gonna be and what to expect.
Yeah, and then you start doing it and they're like, actually, it's harder than this. Like you're not doing enough.
Right.
You're gonna have to do more. God. And you're like, what are you talking about? Like I get here every morning. The call time's 9 AM. I get here at 9 AM. I just like everybody else.
Right.
They go, No. You're the lead in this show. You have to get here at like, I don't know, 8 AM. Like, you have to be here an hour before everybody else, and you have to leave an hour after everybody else.
Oh,
like,
shit.
It's your responsibility. You if we're going to give you, if we're giving everybody in the cast 20 new pages of script, and everyone has to be off book within 2 days, you have to be off book by the end of the first day. Like, whatever level you think you're at, you gotta kick it up even harder. So like,
but that makes you like adjust quick.
Yeah, and it like the director said that to me while we were working, and I was like, oh shit! So I started showing up at 7 AM, which is stupid because the place is closed.
People are sweeping.
Yeah, there'd be like a guy sweeping at 42nd Street Studios.
Yeah,
and I'd be like sitting there on the floor eating my yogurt and like getting ready for the day. But like I really worked my ass off. Like it'd be like I'd get there at like 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'd work till about like 6 or 7 o'clock at night.
How many days a week?
Five days a week.
Holy fuck!
But what was crazy is then I would do stand up at night. Sometimes,
yeah,
like in that too, and Sutton Foster, who's this big Broadway star,
yeah,
she's on the show Younger right now.
I know that name.
Yeah, she's a really cool actress. So she was playing Fiona, my
Shrek love interest.
The Shrek love interest.
Were you gonna lay your Shrek sperm?
Absolutely.
Your green Shrek sperm.
That's what I would say to her all the time. I'm gonna lay out my Shrek sperm. She. We'd finish rehearsal at 6 o'clock. She'd fucking walk two doors down, walk into a theater, get into full makeup,
no.
and then go on Broadway and perform and do tap numbers until fucking 10 o'clock at night, and then fucking go home, go to sleep, and get up and be there at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning next
day. Fuck, I'm not working hard enough.
It's too hard. It's really, really
Broadway,
hard.
Every Broadway is hard.
Broadway is fucking hard. That's why, like, what I want to do is, if I can ever do this, if I ever get to do any musical theater shit ever again in my life, I know this is the lamest conversation
ever. You do something
ever.
Fun, though.
I want to do one of those TV Broadway musicals that they do. Where
like
they go,
the ones they did on for, yeah. like, they did with, like, Grease.
They just did Grease. Yeah,
right.
I'm not ever going to do Grease, but maybe, like, Guys and Dolls or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I get to go and be in Guys and Dolls with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you know?
That'd be amazing.
I'd be very fucking happy. Like,
that'd
that
be
would
awesome.
Be amazing. So that's, like, on the bucket list, and maybe at some point I'll get to do something.
I can't believe you were Shrek. That's, like, when
weird.
You're in your deathbed,
yeah.
knowing that you were Shrek on Broadway, I think is, like, you know, I did it. Yeah. I lived my life.
It's pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
You want to see
I need
picture?
To see a photo of you. Right, I'm going to post that when we post this podcast.
Oh,
that's going to be the promotional photo.
You're like, here's a picture of
you
Blackman,
Shrek.
As Shrek.
How long ago was that?
This was this. I mean, we're talking 2006, 7.
Yeah, because I was living
like
in New York then, and I remember it being on Broadway.
Yeah, that's right around. It's right around that time.
Yeah,
here we go.
I remember that
this
happening.
Is a picture of me as Shrek.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
So everything you're seeing right there, none of that is actually my face. That's a prosthetic jaw.
Wow.
And a prosthetic forehead. And then
and
a
your
hood
neck and like
wearing.
Everything.
And neck and shoulders. Everything is prosthetics. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Your ears are so cute. Oh, my God.
But you see how my actual ears are gone?
Yeah, you can't even see an outline. Yes, I want to finger blast those little teeny Shrek ears.
Oh, and you can.
You can't. You just put
anytime,
like
anytime. I'll bring it. I'll bring it next time.
That's so cute. That's amazing. That's a really good prosthetic.
It was pretty crazy.
And then what did you do after? Because you were on Nickelodeon for a long ass time.
Yeah. So then I was on Big Time Rush on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Which is which was like the highest rated Nickelodeon show they've ever had. It was crazy. It was a boy band. I played the manager of the boy band.
Yes. And you wore. And didn't you wear like extravagant clothing? Like. Yes, really weird, crazy clothing.
I wore like I wore a lot of really crazy shit.
I remember that. I remember like flipping through and seeing that, and I remember seeing like just like your crazy outfits.
You know what's crazy is first season, I was wearing like Rockaware hoodies and shit like that. But then Rockaware went out of business.
Yes,
right?
They did. Yeah.
So then they were like, okay, well, we got to find more like extravagant. It was like, I was playing like a hip hop mogul record producer guy. And like, what's so crazy is too, is that like, that role was they said tall, dark, and handsome. Okay. Silver Fox.
They called it for the role?
For the role.
Isn't that amazing?
Suit and tie guy, giant ego. And my manager at the time was like, oh, 100%. That's Steven Glickman.
Yeah.
You have to go in for this. You got to just pretend that that's you and just be a big ego-centric crazy person.
Fuck yeah.
And I fucking got it. The same day that I auditioned for it, I got it. And then I started shooting 2 days later.
That's insane.
And then I did it for 5 years. And it was fucking lunacy, man. It was like the best time of my life.
You were also doing stand-up.
I was still doing stand-up. Yeah,
mature stand-up.
Yeah, dirty stand-up.
Building this audience of children.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, like, not all, your whole audience isn't children, but
I got
fans.
Lucky. I have a great lawyer, David Pierce, great attorney. And what he said was when the contract, they were doing the contract, there was a morals clause in the contract that said if I did anything or said anything too offensive, that Nickelodeon could let go of me at any point.
Just be absolved of your contract.
Exactly. And so what he did is in the contract he put in that's fine except for what he says on stage.
So it's like a little loophole in the clause.
They're like, he's a stand-up comedian, he has an album out, you know, he's very funny, you have no rights to what he does on stage,
right? Because it's totally different.
Yeah. And so I got to do whatever fucking dirty material I wanted to do on stage and have like a great time, and no one could do anything about it. And I got in trouble a couple times at Nickelodeon. Like, I pissed off a few people over the time I was there, but you know.
I think it's smart to piss a couple people off because they're talking about you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
make them a little angry.
Make them a little upset.
Just a little bit.
Sometimes. You got to push
a little bit. You have to push a couple buttons to let people know you're still kicking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, you got a little fire.
That's the problem at Nickelodeon. It's a real problem. And I've talked to like other Disney and Nick stars about this.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's that same weird thing we were kind of talking about. When someone is telling you, be clean, you are a G-rated person from here out, you're not allowed to do anything that is not G-rated, everything in you
wants to fight against it.
But you know, like, if you fight against it too hard, you're gonna lose your career and you're gonna lose all your money.
But
so,
it's tempting.
Yeah, it's very tempting to like do horrible shit.
Yeah, and just say the most vile things ever.
Yeah, like, I'm lucky I don't do drugs or anything like that. Like, I smoked weed a little bit, and you know, and
that's it. Me too.
And
I smoke weed a lot of it, but that's all I've done.
That's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But like, where I got in a little trouble is I smoked weed with Snoop Dogg in my dressing room.
At Nickelodeon?
While we were filming the show.
That is amazing. That is the best news I've ever heard in my life. Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious. And I talk about it in my act, and it's become a great story. And I see Snoop like about once or twice a year now, and every time I see him, we laugh about it because it was very uncomfortable.
Was it before you went to tape?
No, it was after, while we were on set, I said to him, I went over to say hi, and he goes, yo, dog, I heard about how you hooked up my boy, Big Keys, because he had this bodyguard named Big Keys, and I'd hooked up Big Keys with a job on Nickelodeon,
right,
playing my bodyguard on the show, so he had heard about this, and he goes, yo, I appreciate you hooking up my boy, dog, and I was like, thanks, man. He goes, yo, tonight when we wrap, I got you, son.
Oh, shit. I'd like, be terrified. I'd be like, yeah, okay,
I was like,
Snoop.
What'd you get me? And he goes, no, man, when we rap, I got you. And I was like, what is that?
What do you mean? Like, what does Snoop Dogg language mean?
Like, if I fall, you're going to catch me? Like, what are we talking about? Like, trust falls? And he was like, no, man, we're going to get fucked up together. And I was like, oh my God.
I'm going to get high with Snoop Dogg.
This is going to be amazing. I'm so excited.
You can't turn that down.
Oh no.
Ever.
No. Ever.
Ever.
Never ever.
Even if you've never smoked in your life.
Yeah.
Even if you're a nun.
Yeah. You cannot turn it
down. You can't turn that down.
Old Hasidic rabbi. You know?
Sorry.
I can't faith. This is going to be the best weed of my life.
I don't know, Maria, why I'm doing any of this. I'm so sorry.
Maria's
Maria.
Over there hacking up a lung
Maria,
and dying.
Are you okay, Maria?
She's
what
dying.
The fuck, Maria?
She's literally hacking up a lung. She sounds Maria. Like she smoked with Snoop for a year and a half over there.
Maria's been
Jesus.
Smoking with Snoop for a while.
It sounded like the ghost of Ebenezer coughing up in the Jesus. Goddamn microphone. So you were done rapping, and he was like, let's go to your trailer.
Yeah, so we wrap the day, and we're at Paramount Studios.
Oh, right? Fuck.
And so I'm sitting in my little dressing room, and he opens the door, and he has an iPad with him, and he has a candle.
Oh, fuck. It's about to get real.
I'm like,
he's going to put on Sade feels and stuff.
You know what he put on?
I'm going to guess. Music?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go real classic, only because my gut went there. Bob Marley.
Ooh, no.
So far away?
Far away, but you were closer with the first one.
Sade?
A little closer, yeah.
Doobie Brothers.
You want me to sing it? I'll sing it for
you. Yeah.
Who can say where the...
Enya! What?
He put on Enya.
What?
And I go, what is this? And he goes, I always get fucked up to Enya.
No!
Always, is what he said. Always gets fucked up to Enya.
What?
Yeah.
My mom loves Enya.
Now you have to smoke weed with Enya playing, and you'll just know.
Did you? I would have cried.
I was laughing so fucking hard. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Lights a candle. He goes, gotta set the mood.
Oh, shit.
I gotta set the mood.
Oh, God, I love him.
Oh, yeah.
Snoop Lion.
Oh, the greatest.
That is amazing.
It was amazing. He pulls out this joint, this huge, huge fucking massive
blunt. Probably looked like a badger dick.
Oh, seriously. It was enormous.
I don't know how big that is, but I'm assuming, you know.
Badgers, yeah.
Probably not a huge dick. Probably should have gone Clydesdale.
Clydesdale. Somewhere in between.
Right, okay.
Right? Nice horse dick.
Horse dick.
Horse dick.
A small horse dick.
A smallish, like a pony dick.
A pony dick.
A large pony dick.
A large pony dick.
This is a weird...
Donkey dick.
Donkey dick. It was like about the size of
perfect.
A donkey dick. There we go.
We got it.
So I take the joint, he lights it. He takes a hit off of it, and he hands it to me, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do... I go, hey, this is actually what I said. I go, is this medical marijuana? That's what I said.
Oh, my
God. He goes, man, that's military-grade marijuana. And I was like...
What does that even mean?
I don't know what that means.
What does it even mean?
That's like what they use to, I don't know.
What, to smoke in the military?
I guess so.
They have their own marijuana strain?
Like, it's like weaponized marijuana, all right? So I take one, I'm like, I'm going to do two hits of this, and then I'm fucking out, right? I can't do any more than that. This is Snoop Dogg. It's going to be super
intense.
Yeah,
you're going to die.
Yeah, so I do one hit, I go, right, second hit. And he goes, yo, it's puff, puff, pass. And I was like, I know, I just puff, puff. I just puff, puffed.
Yeah, so I didn't get to the pass part.
I'm going to do the pass part right now.
Yeah, you're
I'm about to do the pass.
Yeah, just wait.
You're jumping the gun here.
Calm down, Snoop.
I'm going to hand it back. I just did two puff
puffs.
Just
wait a minute.
And he goes, man, you've been smoking that shit for like 15 minutes. And I was like, what? And he goes, and you have both. And I was like, I have both? What the fuck is it? I have two giant fucking joints. I start crying, okay? He goes, when's the last time you smoked, son? I go, about 10 years ago. He goes, you're going to die tonight. I was like, I'm going to die. And I like started to panic, and I start weeping. I'm weeping in front of him. Here's the fun part about this story is that...
We had two.
Yeah, when you smoke weed with Snoop Dogg, you get cool points for smoking.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, but when you cry... and hyperventilate into a bag in front of Snoop Dogg as he's laughing at you alone in your dressing room while Enya's playing, you're fucking negative. You're a negative cool points at that point.
He must have loved it, though.
He loved it. And you know what?
He probably was dying at you.
I see him probably like, I just saw him at the at this movie premiere thing like 2 months ago at the Arclight.
Yeah.
And he fucking...
Was he just dying?
In the line, sees me. We're waiting for popcorn. He goes, this motherfucker cried. And then starts pointing at me. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. And he comes over and we say hi and shit. Every time I see him, he goes, this motherfucker cried. Every single time. clowns me. He's clowned me in front of Ludacris. He's clowned me in front of like, clowned me at the Playboy Mansion in front of Chris Brown.
Oh my God.
Like every time I see him, he points it out and then laughs at me.
He seems like the nicest dude ever.
He's the fucking coolest guy in the world.
And then you didn't get fired? Like you're just hotboxing your trailer on Nickelodeon on the Paramount lot.
Everyone, like the place all smelled like weed because he'd been smoking all day.
And
they knew that something was going to happen. But yeah, I mean, it was a fucking ordeal.
And you didn't get in trouble, fired?
No, I didn't get fired.
Hand slapped?
No. There was like some, we don't do that around here kind of thing. Like they were like, whatever was happening, like they didn't know what was happening.
Right.
But afterwards they were like, you know.
You keep like,
we don't do that kind of thing around here, guys.
Hey, well, if you don't do that kind of thing, I don't know. Don't hire the Don of marijuana.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Of course, if someone's going to get stoned with Snoop Dogg if he shows up.
Are
you kidding me?
Bring him to a kid's party. All the kids are going to be like, where's the snacks?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the snacks? And what does life mean?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen to those children.
It's too much. It's too much with
you. You just went in Snoop.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't not partake in that. That's like not smoking with Chong or like not drinking with Gary Busey.
Right,
it's hard to not do those things.
If you had Willie Nelson on your TV show.
You're not going to smoke?
You're not going to smoke with Willie Nelson?
Don't be fucking rude. Yeah,
don't be an asshole.
Come on. That guy's like 102.
Exactly.
You got to smoke with him.
Yeah, you should. And you should smoke with him.
Was that the last time you smoked weed?
No, I smoked with my mom on her birthday, on her 60th birthday.
When was that?
That was a couple years ago.
And what
ago.
Was she like? Did she?
It was her choice. She had a 60s themed birthday party.
That's really cute.
And she asked, she was like, Steven, can you bring marijuana to my party? Because I have never smoked marijuana and I want to be able to smoke marijuana one time in my life. And so I said, yeah, sure.
But your mom was alive in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, but she just never smoked weed. So
wow.
I was like, I got you, lady. Don't worry about it. So I got like, I hooked it up. I got like a great friend who like I called and he got me some weed and I went and bought this gorgeous like a pipe that's like made of lava.
Oh yeah.
And it's like got like some gold on it. It's a very classy with pearl, you know, pearl inlay. I was like, oh,
Cheshire cat
shit. Yeah, yeah. Like that way, like, and it was in a nice box. I was like, this will be like a nice present. You
right.
know?
Nice little pipe for your mom.
I get down there, I'm like, where's my mom at? I was able to get this little vial thing here of marijuana. And they go, oh, your mom's upstairs smoking weed with her friends. And I was like, what the fuck is this shit? And she told me to bring marijuana. She goes, yeah, she told everyone to bring marijuana. People brought like cookies and donuts. They brought weed, everything.
Yes.
And we ended up smoking at the end of the night. And it was
just mom and
just mom
you
and me.
Two?
Yeah.
Was it special?
It was a little special until I took a hit. I passed it to her. She took a hit. And she goes, here, take another hit of this marijuana. And I said, no, I'm good. And she said, don't be a pussy.
And you're like, mom.
I was like, mom, come on. She was like, no, she was great. She was great. It was very nice.
That's really cute.
Yeah, it was a very sweet moment.
My mom likes to partake in the stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, our neighbors like it.
How old is your mom?
She's 67. I think she'll be 68 this year. Yeah, my parents have me old.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she'll hit it a little bit.
That's good. Good for her.
Yeah, you gotta get some of that in your life.
You gotta, like, enjoy your life, you know?
You do.
And, like, you know, people always say, I always liked Trey Parker and Matt Stone said, you know, that like smoking weed when you're in like high school and college is kind of a fucking bad move.
It is a bad move.
You like get successful, have a career, and then smoke weed.
Yeah, because you're smart enough.
Yeah, enjoy it when you can like afford, you know, to have like great snacks.
Yeah.
Like, don't do it when like because
Choco Taco's the only choice.
Oh fuck,
I fucking
dude.
Love Choco Tacos.
That Choco Tacos are great.
They're
though.
So good,
They're
right?
So good. The problem with that drug for me was always that, like, whenever I smoked weed, I was like, oh, man, you know what? I'm cool with just playing video games and working at Blockbuster the rest of my life. Which you can't even do that job anymore. Like,
you can't
work at Blockbuster.
I drove by a Hollywood Video. I was in Pennsylvania. They had a video store.
Are you serious?
A fucking video store.
When was this?
2 days ago.
Did you time travel? Like, how did that happen?
I know. I felt like I was like, am I in the 90s right now?
Oh my God. That's amazing. Did you go in?
I didn't.
Oh God.
The smell.
Oh,
you know, just
God,
walking
just
in.
The smell of the VHS tapes.
And picking it, and they're all empty because they got, you know, they got to keep the real stuff behind the counter.
Right. Because
you can't.
Of course.
You can't leave Titanic in the fucking cartridge.
In the DVD case?
Are you crazy?
No way. Someone will take
it. Someone's going to steal that.
Someone's going to steal that
CD. You know how hard it is to find Titanic?
Oh, my God.
I used to love going to the movie store.
God, I loved
Blockbuster.
I loved Blockbuster, and I loved Hollywood Video.
It was something about it, right? You just, like, you knew you were going to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You go in, you get your horror movies. I'm a horror movie aficionado.
Really? Are you?
I love scary movies.
I would never have known that.
Really?
That's amazing.
What do you like?
Like weird shit, like weird.
What, like Lars Van Trier shit?
No. I like
anime, Japanese anime. You perv.
Yes. I like octopus tentacle movies. No, I really love like bad B movies from the 80s.
Like what?
Like I don't know, like Remote Control, like,
oh my God,
like weird stuff, like
what was that one with Johnny Five?
Oh yeah, Short Circuit.
Was that kind of in there?
Labyrinth, Never Ending Story.
Oh shit, those are my Labyrinth, Never Ending Story, The Legend.
Yeah,
Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal, absolutely.
And there's one other, Princess Bride.
Princess Bride's a great movie.
Great movie.
No, fantastic. I love movies like that, and I love, I'm a fucking ridiculously big Star Wars nerd. Like,
how do you feel about the new shit coming out?
I mean, it's okay. I like it okay. I mean, I'm happy. I'm like, you know, I went and saw it four times when it came out. I like it, but I'm like, the first time I saw it, that new one that came out, first time I saw it, I was like, man, fuck this fucking movie, right?
Yeah.
There's too many things I don't like about it. Second time I saw it, I was like, I like some of these things, sort of. And then the third time I saw it, I was like, I love everything.
But don't you think it's like subliminal shit that's happening to you? Or are you just forcing yourself to like it because you don't want it to die?
No, I think I'm happy to see certain things, but other things, I don't know. Did you see that movie?
I did. See, I love those movies, and I'm a nerd when it comes to those types of movies,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like the types of nerds that go out to those movies because they're very vocal during the movie.
Yeah, they get
so into it, and I have a theory. I think nerds who are super nerds that are into this genre of film mm-hmm. bring people who aren't as much into it so that they can diarrhea the information that they know about all the inner workings of the characters and the backstory while the fucking movie's going on.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not a good move.
Like, it tries. There's a one scene. If you guys haven't seen it, I'm sorry. The fucking Han Solo dies.
Right. Yeah.
But sorry. But you know, Princess Leia, or you know, she's still a fucking princess at this point.
Sure. Right.
She's there, and her and Han Solo are separate. But for some reason, she knows he's died.
Right, she can feel it.
She can feel it. And this kid behind me goes, oh, yeah, she can feel the force. And I'm like, motherfucker, just let those little nuances be unsaid. I don't need to hear your drooly face saying it over my shoulder.
Mouth breather.
Yeah, your mouth breather.
Fucking relax.
Some sort of fucking homeschooled Morgan Freeman over my shoulder.
This is the problem. This is the reason. this was my biggest problem with it. And I've talked to some people about this.
That's code for Hollywood.
I've talked to some Star Wars, Star Trek nerdy people.
Yeah.
And I have the same problem that a lot of people had with this, is that Harrison Ford dies in the movie. Right? But like, that's an old character. Right.
Yeah.
That's not a character that I understand that there's reasons why he had to die. Like, you know, he didn't want to do more movies, and he wanted to, you know, like the actual actor wanted to be out a long time ago and whatever, like wanted to die in Return of the Jedi or Empire.
He's like,
Strikes
I'm fucking out of here.
Yeah. But here's the thing is,
Harrison Ford wants to have Orchard with Calista Flockhart.
Yeah. yes. The problem with that kind of shit is that like, that's not. Like, that's not J.J. Abrams, like, or the director of that movie and those guys. That's not their character. It's not Disney's character. They didn't create Han Solo.
Right.
George Lucas created Han Solo. And I don't like that they killed off a character that they didn't create. I think that's
kind of fucked up.
It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
It'd be like if somebody, like, bought, you know, like, someone bought a house, when someone, like my aunt and uncle, like, sold their house recently. And to these people, and it's a very beautiful house, and
they put work into it.
The first thing they did is destroy literally knock the entire house down to the foundation, and
oh
then
my
rebuild
God.
From scratch. And there's something I understand that this is how it works, that's how like life works. But it's fucked up, and it kind of fucked them up too, and made them really depressed.
That would make me depressed.
It's not cool. It's not cool to do, because they didn't say they were going to do that when they bought the house.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's something, because you just at least need to prepare yourself for something like that.
Yeah, like I think it's kind of a little unfair to do something like that, because then you're like, who are you to fucking tell me that person's dead? You didn't fucking make that person.
But George Lucas sold.
Yeah, he sold it off. So that's how it works. That's
so you could be mad at George Lucas for fucking he's, you know what he did?
I can be mad at George Lucas for lots
of many
things.
Jar Jar Binks for one.
Yeah, absolutely. But for making horrible, horrible decisions.
George Lucas did to that movie what your dad did to you when you were 12.
Right. He just ghosted.
He just walked out.
He just walked out.
Is it too soon?
That's the best. Oh my God, that's so funny. Yes, absolutely. That's exactly just another reason why I hate Jar Jar
Now
Banks.
You're just wiping the table.
I'm like crying.
Now you're crying and cleaning.
I need to keep myself busy. I need to keep my hands busy.
Oh my God.
What a fucking weird world.
I feel like you also had an announcement on the internet and the interweb like a couple months ago. Something you were working on that you couldn't say anything until contracts cleared.
Yeah.
What was it?
Well,
I know what it was, but
sure. Yeah. So I'm in a movie right now with Jennifer Aniston.
That's awesome.
And Andy Samberg.
That's so crazy.
That's super exciting.
And what can you talk about anything?
Yeah, it's my first movie. And it's an animated film. It's called Storks. And it's a Warner Brothers film. It's the same people that did Lego Movie.
Yeah, which was huge.
Huge
hit.
And this is going to be a big movie too. And I play one of the leads in the film. I play the bad guy in the movie.
Oh, that's
evil villain character. And he's like a real doofus and real just, you know, jackass kind of bad guy character. It's a great fun part. And, I've been working on this movie as a voiceover actor for almost 3 years.
It's like people don't realize the process to make animated films, how long it takes.
Yeah, it takes
average of like 4 years, right?
Yeah, it takes a long time. It's about 4 years from start to finish.
Yeah.
I was cast as a scratch vocal actor on the movie.
What does that
which
mean?
Is like rough draft voice. It was like I was like one of the there was like 15 of us or so, and they were all rough draft voices. So
right.
You'd go in, you do, you know, this character, and you're like, you get the part, you get that gig, and you're like, I'm not actually playing the part in the movie.
Right.
You're just doing it for now, like until they cast, you know, Jonah Hill or someone like this to take
over. So you were just like
I was doing the voice so that the animators had something to animate to.
Wow. So you didn't even know like what the end was going to be at this point.
No.
That's awesome.
The character, when I got to the part, I believe had like 4 or 5 scenes, something like this. Mm-hmm. And then within a few months, he was in like 27 scenes, and he had a song and all sorts of other shit. And I was like, it was crazy. And getting to like walk in and you're working with Brad Lewis, who did, he produced Ratatouille.
Ratatouille's so good.
Oh, yeah, he's a
I
Pixar
love
guy.
Ratatouille. Ratatouille. I can't say it.
Great. Patton Oswalt. Amazing. Amazing. Great movie. And so you have like him, and then you have Doug Sweetland, who's like a Pixar guy, directing like the animated side of it and some of the acting side of it, and Nick Stoller, who wrote the film and is directing also. And Nick Stoller did Forgetting Sarah Marshall, The Muppets, Get Him to the Greek, Neighbors. You know, he's an amazing...
Forgetting Sarah Marshall has so many funny parts, man.
Oh, God,
like, laugh out loud funny.
Amazing. Amazing. Such a great damn movie. And so getting to work with Nick all the time was just insane. And then...
Are you in a booth by yourself?
No, I'm in, like, during the rough draft voice stuff, you're in a room that's literally half the size of this room. I mean, it's a small room. You have a little voice booth,
right?
And there's all these people sitting in the room, and it's like this guy from Frozen that worked on Frozen as a producer or a music person.
No pressure.
This person from Finding Dory, and this
no
person
presh.
From this. Yeah, but here's the fun part: is because you're just a rough draft voice, there is no pressure. You're just having fun. You're just being silly and acting like a jackass. And then there was one day where the character has a song to sing, and they were like, all right, well, we can skip this because we have a singer coming in to do the song. And I was like, no, I sing. Like, I can sing this. And they were like, No, it's very sweet. But we have a guy coming in. And I was like,
no, I got it.
I was like,
no,
I'm pretty sure I got it. I was like, just let me like sing it one time. And they were like, all right, fine. Put a karaoke track in my ear. And so then I sang the song, and they were like, who are you? Where did you come from? What
is
this?
See, that's so smart of you. You always have to do shit like that.
You have to take,
you have to,
you gotta step up and say that you can do shit if you can do shit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's probably the thing. They were like, well, we don't need anybody else.
Yeah, like it definitely hammered a lot of it home that I could be the guy for this. And, you know, like, then it was like the people that were doing Scratch just slowly started getting replaced by really big people like Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, who's got a great voice.
Key and Peele came in and took over two of these huge roles, and then Danny Trejo came in, and Katie Crown, who's a really cool comic, and she was she's the lead female, the lead major.
That's
female.
Awesome.
She was a Scratch vocalist on this also. And they decided that the two of us could keep our parts. And then they cast the rest of it with, you know, Jennifer Aniston and Ty Burrell.
That's crazy.
Huge,
do you remember
people.
Any part of the song?
Oh, no, it's
do some of it. Is there contract issues?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I have to wait to watch it.
You have to wait to watch it. It's a song you know. Like, it's an actual song.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like literally
I'm singing like
karaoke.
I'm singing like somebody's song.
That's
like,
so fun.
And what was so great is the band, they're a famous band too.
I hope it's like Fetty Wap.
It's up there. But what's cool is when the band had to like listen to me sing their song, and they were like, we love it.
Oh my God.
And then sold, you know, they bought the rights
right.
to it. And shit. I was like, oh my God. It's amazing.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so that comes out in September. The preview's out right now, like the trailer's out right now. And so in the movie I play Pigeon Toady, who's this little pigeon. It's a stork. It's all about storks.
Yeah.
And how storks used to deliver babies, but then they stopped because there was some sort of like baby issue. And so they stopped and now they just are like FedEx. They just deliver packages.
That's
they're like
hilarious.
Amazon, and they're like Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
They deliver it right to your door.
That's
right,
gonna happen soon. I can't wait.
Absolutely. With the drones. Instead
drop
of drones,
it down.
It's like a pigeon dropping something. You know, I mean not a pigeon, a stork dropping something. And then they're like the head of the company is going to maybe at some point, you know, move on, you know, and get let somebody else work in the company or do, you know, take over
a spot.
Job.
It clears
you
know, up.
A spot's going to open up for a big job. And so it's going to either go to Andy Samberg's character or to my character, the pigeon, who is the only pigeon that lives on Stork Mountain. And he's just a real, he's
PC, POS. He's
a, yeah, you bet. And he has a bad toupee and he's just,
is it Donald Trump?
He kind of like talk like that. It's like Jesse, he'd be like, yeah, I'll do the character and you just whatever I ask you, just say you're not interested in doing
okay.
That. Okay, ready? Hi, Jesse. After we finish this podcast, do you want to go over and maybe get some pizza or whatever?
No, I don't really. I'm kind of busy.
Yeah, me neither. Pizza's so bad for you. It's the worst. I hate it. It's so gross. And who would even ask somebody that? It's so stupid. So that's like the character. That's the character.
Sounds like a drunk Valley girl.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's amazing.
He's fun. And then what's great is when we were doing the voiceover stuff, I got to, there was this page where the character is interviewing these other animals animals or whatever.
Yeah.
And he talks to a polar bear and a snow monkey and a rabbit. And I was like, hey, these characters have like one line. Who's doing these? And they were like, this is back when I was doing Scratch vocals on it. And I was like,
you're such a fucking hustler.
And they were like, nope, nobody's doing that. No one's doing that right yet. And I was like, can I do them? And they were like, I mean, you can give it a shot. And I was like, okay. I was like, great. So for the polar bear, I do like a Joey Diaz. So I'm like, hey, what's going on over here? What are you guys, crazy? What? I never seen anything like this in my life. Like I did kind of like something like that.
Yeah, how you'd imagine a polar bear would sound.
Sure. And then they're like, okay, what about the monkey? And for the monkey, the snow monkey, I did like listen, guy, like I never met you before, but like, you seem like a pretty freaking good guy or whatever.
Like, why does the snow monkey sound like he he's from South Central.
I don't know, but I like, it's like, that's like a funny voice for that character. And then the rabbit, for the rabbit, the rabbit has one line, and the line is, I have never seen that stork before.
Okay.
Okay, so I did, I've never seen that stork before. That's a crazy stork.
You did Tracy Morgan.
And they were like, done. And all three of those voices are now in the movie, and they are in the trailer that's out right now. So if you watch, there's a scene where I talk to myself.
For fucking 30 seconds.
I do four different characters in the movie.
That's so great. You're such a, like, a go-getter.
I'm a go-getter.
You are.
I'm a go-getter, Jesse.
Are you an only child?
No, I have a sister. I have a younger sister. She's 4 years younger, 6 years younger.
I don't know why I assumed you were only child.
Yeah. I have a younger sister who's like super crazy talented.
What is she in the same field?
Yeah, she's in music.
Okay.
She's a singer. She's the smart one in our family.
Oh, please.
No. Like, she's
like book smart?
Dean's List, Columbia
God,
University.
Exhausting.
Oh, I can't. She would write these papers.
She writes papers?
She had to write papers in college. And,
is
like,
she
very,
crazy?
Very serious. She very
There's
serious.
Asians you can pay to do that.
She's very tough. Very tough character. She loves you. She's a big fan of you.
Hi, sis.
She comes to the to my show every month.
I gotta come check out your show.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
It's been like, what's so nice is you know how it is, like, when you're with stand up, you like having like something that you get to like do constantly while
your
you're
own.
Working on everything else.
Yes. It's vital.
God, it's so important.
It really is.
It's so important.
It really is.
Yeah, because there's been months where, like, you know, like with this movie, where it'd be like 5-6 months where, like, I got like, you can't say a word about anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing going on.
And that's like, ugh.
Oh, and they're just animating and they're not doing any voice stuff. So you're just sitting for like months.
And not able to talk about it.
You can't talk about anything. And so I started doing the nighttime show, which is once a month, Saturday night at the Hollywood Improv. Yeah.
Yep.
And putting this show together very specifically where we're like, okay, we want, you know, a guy, we want a we want like one or two alt comics on the show.
Yep.
It's, you know how like most shows when they book a show, they're like, just funny people, just get whoever's funny.
Right.
Let's just get a
you
bunch
have to
of
be strategic.
People. Instead, what we did is we like kind of split it up into categories a
right.
little bit. And we were like, we want like an alt comic on the show. We want, a comic, like two comics who are like badass, legendary, amazing, like kick-ass
right.
kind of famous comics. We want somebody who's like an up-and-comer, someone
yeah.
who's exciting, and then we want a musical comic, and we want a comic who has been doing stand-up for, like, you know, 30 to 40 years.
Yeah, like a someone, like a road dog or something.
Someone who's like on this month, we have Tom Dreesen, who's been doing
Oh my
stand.
God. I mean, hello. The birth of fucking yeah, the Comedy Store.
Yeah, like Tom Dreesen was Frank Sinatra's opening act.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is
He's
amazing.
Legendary.
Yeah, so we've had him. We had last month we had Wendy Liebman, who's been in stand up for, like, you know, 30 years.
She's
or something
she's the queen of the one liners.
Absolutely. She's yeah. amazing. And then
Switch and Release. What is it called? I can't even think of the
Oh yeah.
Set up in
punchlines?
No, like when the whole bait and switch thing, like
oh,
her style.
Yeah. Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like
yeah, bait and switch.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's like her whole thing.
Yeah, sure. She takes you down one road and then she just throws you a curveball.
Yeah.
She's a curveball lady.
Is
She's
somebody
amazing.
Ripping up their check? What's happening over there?
So fun.
we just our check just got ripped up.
Oh no. But yeah, what's been nice too is that, like, instead of just being like, we have to have a female comic on every show.
I know, that shit is so annoying.
We always have a female comic
yeah.
on every show, but sometimes we'll have two female comics or we'll have whatever. Like, we'll have multiple comics, you know,
right.
like lady comics on the show. But it's like, there'll be alt female comics. We have, you know, we had Fortune Feimster on the show. We've
she's nuts.
She's amazing.
She's so funny.
We had Mo Collins do the
yeah.
show. Helen Hong has done the show. Lori Kilmartin.
Yep.
Literally had one of the best sets we've ever had on the
Lori
show.
Lori is
beast,
so
man.
Damn
She's
smart. She's such a
amazing.
Clean writer.
Oh, my God. Deborah DiGiovanni.
I don't think I know Deborah.
We had Anna
I love her
Akana.
Last name.
Do you know Anna Akana?
Anaconda?
Anna Akana. Do you know her?
I from? Love her name.
Yeah, she was great. We had Saffron Herndon perform on the show.
I feel like
her?
You're just saying spices now.
Saffron Herndon is 10 years old.
No.
Yeah, she's a 10-year-old stand-up comic. We saw her on Good Morning America.
No.
She's absolutely amazing. We had her flown out and put up in a hotel to perform on the show.
Shut up.
And yeah, she's un-fucking believably funny.
Excuse me, like, go hang myself by a shower curtain right now.
I mean, she has this joke. She has this joke where she goes, online dating's hard, huh? So every time I meet a guy, he ends up in prison. I mean, she's so funny. And like only a 10-year-old could say that.
That is so funny.
It's great. You have to come do the show.
I would love to.
I would love to have you.
I would love to.
Look who's here.
Alonzo Bowden just walked in the door.
Do you know that Alonzo Bowden is responsible for a large chunk of my career being successful?
I thought that was going to go a totally different way.
I received a penny.
Yeah.
See? Why didn't the man get paid? We need some of that Shrek musical money.
He was one of the judges on Last Comic Standing when I was on Last Comic.
I remember that.
And I was just, I was like brand new. I auditioned and him and Ant put me through. And Kathleen Madigan, who was the other judge, was like, who the fuck is this guy? Why would you ever put him on a show ever? But they pushed me through. And because I was on Last Comic Standing, I got discovered by Allison Jones, the casting director,
yeah,
who then put me in touch with the people that ended up putting me in Shrek. So
the musical.
Yeah, which got my whole career started.
That's insanity. Do you have to leave or do you want to hang out with us?
Right back to the moments. It's kind of neat. What's that?
Do you have to leave or do you want to hang out with us?
I can hang out for a few minutes.
Hang out for a few minutes. Yeah. Let's just roll this right on through.
You're probably asking yourself how a stork, a girl, and a baby wound up in this situation. Let me go back and start at the beginning of the story.
This is crazy. We are delivering a baby.
If anyone finds out about this, I am dead meat.
Powder. Baby powder.
Have you seen a red-headed lady and a stork?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I saw two that fit that description the other day.
No, man, I will not be your friend.
Sorry, thought we were vibing.
Are you in love?
I am in love.
Are you in love?
I'm in love, too.
I agree.